Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, hello, everyone. Is there anyone at the top of the phone line that is not in Adobe Connect? Okay. And is there anybody with an update to their statement of interest? All right. The first thing that I guess we wanted to do was go over the I don't know, help me out, Jean-Baptiste. I thought the first thing on the agenda was going over the merger of 15 and 17.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Unfortunately, there was no update from David on that. So I believe this is still in progress. So there are discussions right now between David and Jordan on this merge. So we are not in the position to provide that on today's call, but I will make sure this is reviewed via email and sent to the review team as soon as possible.
Okay, we're close, down to one sentence. Thanks, Jordan. That's excellent. I'm excited that we potentially found a way to get to consensus. Okay, then I guess, Jean-Baptiste, you were going to lead us through some of the track changes that were made in the report that was circulated so that people could see the changes and speak up if they have issues with them.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan, and I hope everyone can hear me clearly. So there were several changes that were received. Some important ones, mainly those changes were concerned the executive summary, the data-driven analysis section, the competition section, the consumer trust, and the safeguard section. So just starting with the executive summary, so there were a few edits from Jonathan, David, and Jamie. Starting with the first one, which is really a quick one, it's just a change of words that was from Jamie to change to update the text to have been fully realized. And I see that unfortunately comments are not showing properly. I don't know if Brenda, is there a way you can help on that? Otherwise. Yeah, sorry. So here it was written before that the full effects of the program may have not yet have been fully felt, and so Jamie's suggesting using realize instead. Are there any objections to that?
This is Jamie. I feel strongly about that.
That was Stan's language actually, but I think it's fine. The change is fine.
Okay. Moving on to the next one, which is on the following page. Okay. None of the changes are fully appearing. And that's from you, Jonathan. So you have removed the text appearing on screen and have modified this sentence to read as early indications are less inclined to rely on defensive registrations, i.e. registering a domain simply to prevent others from doing so, than in the past. It's not clear whether this is the result of the new rights protection mechanism or simply the sheer volume of new TTLDs. Instead, rights holders are engaging in increased monitoring and case-by-case resolution mechanism. Lorraine, do you have your hand raised?
Yeah, there seems to be a subject missing. Early indications are less inclined. Don't we have a missing word there?
Let me check, but I believe that's what I had.
Right. I mean, you may have that, but it doesn't sound right.
No. I'm double checking that. Just 1 second.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Lorene. I think it should be early indications are that rights holders are less inclined.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. I just want to make sure we didn't have a missing subject there.
You're right. I guess that's... did you get that, Jean-Baptiste? I don't know how to make it edit, but it should be early indications are that rights holders are less inclined.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Perfect. Moving on to the next one.
I think Wado has his hand up.
Yeah. Sorry, Wado. Go ahead. Wado, we can hear you. For the early citations.
I think he means early indication.
Early indications. Jonathan?
Wado, are you asking for citations for the idea that there's early indications? Because this is the executive summary, so it doesn't go through and repeat all the same footnotes as the safeguard page. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Can we move on? Perfect. So on page 8, so that's there, one edit from Jamie and one comment from Brian. So here, and since we don't show the comments, I'll have to do that manually. Sorry, we missed one, which is on this page, which is so Jamie suggested leaving the inherently subjective concept off, and which is just here between measuring and trust. So the inherently subjective concept of trust. So that sentence before trust was removed, and he suggested adding here, given the difficulty of defining and measuring trust.
I don't feel strongly about that.
Any other objection?
Maureen, is that behind you?
You know, the only concern I have is that the word subjective really, in my mind, drove the need for this need for a proxy. It wasn't just that it was hard to define and measure. It's that it was subjective. I don't have to fall on my sword on this, but I don't know that the change actually captures that concept.
So this is Jamie. Trust to me doesn't seem to be inherently subjective. It is hard to define. There are objective components to it. It is a little like, the famous Justice Potter Stewart on pornography. You know it when when you have it. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily subjective because there are objective measures of trust, right? I mean, but in this context, it's hard to sort of pin down. I don't feel that strongly about it either. That's just what my thinking was.
I think it's fine.
Perfect. So I just shared my screen. Maybe that's easier so that everyone can read the comments. I don't know why under PDF that was not showing properly. Can everyone see all right? Is that readable, or should I zoom in a little bit?
Maybe a little bigger.
Okay. Happy to do so.
Yeah. For the record, I just want to say that 2 years ago, I didn't use 3D glasses. Now I do.
We've driven you to this, Jamie.
Okay, so moving on to the next page. There are a few more edits from Jamie. So here adding some of the malicious abuse issues, replace not universally play all new GTLDs, but not universally persist in all new GTLDs. Any comments on that for this paragraph? Okay, hearing none, so the next paragraph, so here the word certain is added before abusive activities to new GTLDs, and then Lorraine added and improved the security of the DNS before it was just reading and improved the DNS. Any comments on that? Okay. And then at the end of this section, just before the application and evaluation one, here, Lorraine added it remains unclear how effective enforcement and shared of the PICs has been, just to put the reader in perspective. Any questions? Any objections? Okay. Moving on to page 10. So here under the right protection mechanism section, so David has made several changes. So it's more text regarding the issues encountered with the INTA survey, and he also takes on board criticism of the NTSG. So all the different edits from David appear in red. I will just maybe leave you 1 minute just to read this paragraph. So if you have your document open as well, it's on page 11.
Are you giving us scrolling, or are you going to scroll?
I can't give you scrolling because I'm sharing my screen, but I'm giving you just 1 minute to read these two paragraphs. Okay, I see already a comment from Calvin saying that on the first line that should say where men to stand instead of the RPMs where to stand alongside existing right prediction mechanism. Hi, Carlton. We are not silent. The review team was given 1 minute to review the edits from David on the rare protection mechanism paragraph in the executive summary. Are there any objections to these two paragraphs that were modified by David?
So this is Laureen.
Yes, I see your hand. Go ahead, Laureen.
That's okay. I thought also the length of the survey was one of the issues. In fact, that's what I remember being a big issue, but we don't mention that. And I'm wondering in the last sentence if we want to add that that concept. The length of the complexity of the questions, the length of the survey and survey methodology, and just get the concept of that it was a really long survey in there. Is that what other people recall? I know David's not here on the call. Anyway, that would be my proposal, subject to David's veto.
I'm going to speak for David and say, I don't care. To go ahead and make the change that Laureen recommends.
Can you please say that again, Laureen?
Sure. So the last sentence, subsequent feedback suggests that the complexity of the questions, comma, the length of the survey, comma, and then the rest of the sentence as is. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Unless there are any other objections, let's move on to user edits. So what you see in red with no comments, that's the text that was modified by David, and the rest of it are additions or edits from Jamie. I'll give you another minute to quickly read that and share any objections.
I just have an informational question that I'm jumping in with before we get to comments. So has David had the chance to take a look and weigh in on this? Because some of these are substantive.
Lorraine, you received the document. I guess I don't know the answer to that in terms of what it is.
Okay, then I'll be more clear.
Having a chance means, right?
I guess my ask then is, It would be good to actually have David approve the, like, for example, when we're stating the primary consideration for domain registration by brand owners appears to be defensive.
Yeah, and just, you know, if we're talking about the last sentence in that first paragraph, by brand owners, appears to be defensive. It's the brand owners who participated in the survey, right? I mean, it's a pretty big statement. The primary consideration for domain registration by brand owners appears to be defensive. And I just wonder whether you can make that conclusion, or even suggestion, based on the survey that had only 33 respondents.
Okay, so you're trying to you want to qualify it more. Okay.
Right, and I think in a lot of the section that there is, you know, appropriate qualification, and where I had put in edits, I don't have the original ones in front of me. It was to include in those places where there, like in this, where there seems to be a broader statement than it's supported by the data to qualify it.
Got it.
The statement may in fact be true. It's just the survey was.
I'm sorry, you just cut out there.
No, not important.
Kelly, you have your hand raised?
Not yet.
I'm afraid we can't hear you properly. Would it be possible to type your question or your comment? I don't know about others, but I couldn't understand what you asked. Could you type that in the chat, if possible? Thank you.
Yes.
Jamie and Lauren, based on what you just said, is there any edits that you would like me to do to the text?
Not from me.
Damn it. Sorry. So mean, for me, it would be great. I'm not going to die in my sword over this, but if in the second to last line of that paragraph, primary consideration for domain registration by brand owners who participated in the survey. But again, we make the point in a lot of other places, so it's not life or death.
Okay. And I see that Jordan has his hand raised. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jordan?
Sorry. Two things. First of all, I like Jamie's change to the second half of that sentence. And I think we should get rid of the words brand owners, for brand owners in the first half. Based on its discussion in chat, it seems like first half of that last sentence where it says, well, one of the stated purposes of the new GTLD program was to create greater choice, comma, we don't need the for brand owners there. Because I think in the chat we all agree that that wasn't an explicit goal for brand owners per se. It was just a general goal.
I wonder if there were just meant to be a comma there, and that would have already have been, and brand owners
right.
just got put in.
Oh, yeah, that might be it. In any case, that's probably what happened originally, Jonathan, and then it got, now we have brand owners twice in there, so I would just get rid of the first one.
So this one, right?
No. In the very last sentence of that paragraph.
Oh, sorry. First, yeah, this one.
Where it says for brand owners. Nope.
Sorry, I don't seem to read it.
Well, it says, while one of the stated purposes of the new GTLD program was to create greater choice.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Just put a comma there and delete the for brand owners.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries. A couple other things about this. The second sentence doesn't make any sense to me. The survey found that new GTLD registration the third sentence. In particular, only 17% of respondents had registered names in the new GTLDs for the first time in the new GTLDs. What? I don't understand what that means. Maybe, I think Kylie's saying the same thing. Kylie and I are both confused by the first half of the sentence.
So I think it's meant to say that only 17% of respondents had registered domain names for the first time in the new GTLDs as opposed to duplicating existing domains that they already had.
Right, so if we just get rid of the second.
Suggesting that offensive, right?
Right, so you just get rid of the second in the new GTLDs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamie's trying to do with this third sentence, but I don't actually like the way this parses. This suggests that the defensive registrations may remain an issue considering the effectiveness of the new GTLD program in providing choice. I don't know what that means. I would say something more like this suggests the defensive registrations may remain an issue. I don't know. I like Atlas before. I would leave Jamie's May, but the rest of it, I don't know. I don't really know what it means. I don't know what the effectiveness of providing choice. I don't think it really speaks to that other than for brand owners. I just think it's reasonable to say that defensive registrations remain an issue.
Okay, Jordan, so can you clarify which section you'd like me to remove?
So I would except, so in that sentence that starts, this suggests the defensive registrations,
mm-hmm.
I would accept Jamie's first change and reject the last two. That's what I would do. I don't know if other people have opinions. Laureen said plus one.
I agree.
So just, okay. So just remove in providing choice.
No, and considering the effectiveness. Just keep the may and get rid of the last two. Yeah, and then get rid of the in providing choice.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Got it.
Any other comments on this paragraph? Okay. What about the following one?
I hate to do this, but I guess we should probably just highlight the change that Jamie made with respect to of people that participated in the survey in the previous paragraph and run that in front of David, because it occurs to me that he's concluding it more generally because of the other statistic as well and not just because of the survey.
Yeah.
What other statistic, Jonathan?
The 17% statistic, I think, is the other one that he's using to say that it was primarily defensive. Right?
Is that not from the survey?
I thought that was also.
I think they're both from the survey.
Okay, never mind. Forget I said anything.
So, I mean, whose language is in red? Because it looks like Jamie has only added some of this, but there's more language. That David's language? I'm a little confused.
So, Lauren, the text in red, without any comments here on the side, is from David indeed.
Okay.
So, Jonathan, can you clarify the next step here?
Sorry, say that again.
Can you clarify for me what is the next step on this paragraph?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have anything to offer on this paragraph. I was mistaken about the previous.
Okay. Then, are there any objections on
this? The sentence about privacy and proxy services seems like kind of strong to me. Like, this is talking about trademark protection, and suddenly we start to talk about safer DNS. I don't know where that comes from. I don't want to do this on the fly, but I can suggest some further edits to this, I think. But I don't really agree that, like, we should suddenly include a discussion of safety and security in the discussion of trademark abuse.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, the statement is not that strong. It comes off as strong, but basically saying that most of the cases of main dispute involve privacy proxy, but the reverse wasn't true, right? I mean, that's the...
So, I mean, the way the text read before seemed totally fine, which is to say, like, a lot of them involved privacy and proxy services. That's something that we need to research more. But now we, like, have these, like, statements about, like, are they serving the best interest of the you know, are the best interests, like, generally, and then, like, safety and security DNS. I don't know. It just seems to, like, really, like, raise questions that aren't actually suggested by the survey.
Can I say I don't think that sentence actually stops you looking at patterns of abuse? A privacy proxy registration does not stop you seeing that there's a pattern of abuse. You'll know that the privacy, who's using the privacy, you know who the registrar is. So, and what purpose. You would know the purpose for which that registration was being used. So I don't see that in itself as hindering extracting information about patterns of abuse.
Well, Carlson, I think the reason that it's difficult to look at patterns is because you don't know if any two domains are registered by the same entity. So that's the pattern that you're missing. Whether a particular registrar...
It's a particular pattern.
I guess
right.
So.
Right. So Carlson's right, though, that the other kinds of patterns can be discerned, right? Like you can see if there's
There's just one pattern.
I suppose so. I think it turns them into isolated cases because you can't see the relationship between them, right? So I don't know what type of pattern you're thinking of that you would see. Maybe I'm missing something, but I mean, what's the pattern that you would see given that you can't see a relationship between domains?
All privacy proxy does is conceal the name of the putative owner. That's all it does.
That's right, but that's the one thing that actually ties registrations together. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing that the survey shouldn't be relied on, as Jamie said, to make this claim. I'm just saying that I believe that a high degree of privacy proxy in disputes, if true, does stymie a little bit pattern assessment because those registrations cease to have any relationship to each other. What patterns are you guys thinking of?
If the registrar is the same, that's the pattern I have to look at, where they're coming from. The location of the registrar, that's something that we could look at. I mean, those kinds of things are important too, because you want to look at bad registrars and so on. It would tell me also, I could look and see what are the variants of the brand name that is being registered. All of these things are patterns.
So can't we ask David just to clarify this? If he's talking about patterns of abuse based on attribution, that there's a lack of attribution to common registrants, then that's what he should say. If he's talking about a different sort of pattern, he should say that. This is just a lack of clarity.
That's what I'm saying, Lorene. I think that is just one attribution, and if that's what we're saying, we should say that directly because there are lots of other patterns.
Right, right. So maybe we need to ask David to clarify that if if his intent is to talk about the fact that you can't identify a common actor because of the use of privacy proxy registrations, I think that could be more clearly expressed.
Yeah, so let's just add that to clause right now and then find out if David objects to it. I think just asking him to clarify is going to be a long conversation, so.
Then, so we are assuming then that, and I think logically that he means, blah, 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 privacy proxy services, making it difficult to assess, patterns of abuse based on common actors.
Yeah, or by patterns of abuse by a single actor or something like that.
Yeah, that's what that would say to me, because all a privacy proxy does is to conceal the name of the beneficial registrant.
Mm-hmm.
Or making it difficult to assess whether this abuse is tied to common actors.
That's an even better clause.
So Jean-Baptiste, I'll repeat that. Making it difficult
to assess
whether this abuse is tied to common actors. So we're getting rid of patterns. We're just saying making it difficult to assess whether this abuse is tied to common actors or whether this abuse is tied to common actors.
Does the survey even get at any of this, though? I just feel like we're wildly extrapolating. Like, the survey said there's a lot of privacy and proxy. Before it said, like, that's an issue that we should research more, and now we're, like, trying to, like, ascribe sorts of additional meaning to the survey that's not actually present in the survey. I just, like, what the language before seemed, like, much less problematic to me than what we're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's trying to, you know, editorialize on the impact of these data, right? So, I mean, what we're doing is reining in that impact statement, and then, as you say, if you think it's too alarmist to say the rest of the research, then we can end that clause as well and have him come back and defend it if he wants to.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not convinced that, like, having talked to, like, my trademark folks and, like, listening to, like, how, like, law enforcement, like, looks at patterns, they don't particularly rely on the register, like, to figure out whether there's patterns of abuse from a particular actor. I'm not really sure. Like, it's just, this just seems to be extrapolating more than the data actually suggests. And gets into, like, a whole debate about privacy and proxy that, like, wasn't really present in our survey or our discussions. And I just, like, I'm not sure why we're bringing this, like, broader debate from ICANN where we don't have any particularly new information to add other than the fact that 75% of the disputes involved privacy and proxy. It just seems like a factual statement.
Right. It's a can of worms, for sure.
Well, I don't think there's a. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's a problem with this furthermore sentence because that's just stating a fact. I mean, when people use privacy services, you know, by definition, unless you can get further information via legal process, you're not going to know who's behind the domain. That's the whole point. So I don't think that sentence is saying anything. More than stating a fact.
But
now the second sentence, this suggests the need for further research. I'm not sure that necessarily follows from the survey, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that furthermore sentence.
Well, I mean, I agree that you can't tell who the registrant is if there's a privacy and proxy service. I don't agree that it's, like to Carlton's point earlier, the thing you can't tell is who the registrant is. It does not mean that you can't tell that it's a common actor, right? Like if a bunch of names are all registered at the same time with the same registrant, the same IP address, like you don't need to see that it's the same registrant in order to be convinced that that's the same actor.
You may have other ways of knowing, but if you wanted to know definitively, you would look to the, you wanted to know definitively at least what names were registered, you would look to the registration data.
That is true. So if the statement were 75% of these cases involve entities that register the domain names using privacy and proxy services, making it difficult to definitively identify the registrant, then that would be correct. But that's not what it says.
Okay, I think it's difficult to talk John Baptiste through this change. But I think we can address Jamie's statement by saying the survey suggests that as many as 75% of domain dispute cases involve entities. I think that will resolve Jamie's thing, and then if we give Laureen's next edit, that resolves Jordan's issue, and then we'll get rid of this sort of overreaching statement about these systems, whether they're serving the best interest, and just say need for further research.
Yeah, I think
does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so so Jean-Baptiste, I'm sorry that you're stuck editing this here, but up here where it says, furthermore, the survey reveals,
mm-hmm.
It should say the survey suggests.
Mm-hmm.
That as many as, so instead of more than, Jamie, does that get you whole? Okay. All right, and so then down two sentences below, this result suggests the need for further research. And then just put a period after that. So you just added more, we already had this result. You don't need to add the word result. Sorry. Suggest the need for further research, period.
Period, and take out the rest.
So after further research, put in a period. Right where your cursor is.
Period.
And then just get rid of the rest of the sentence.
And that would address Walter's question about these systems.
Okay.
Did I capture that correctly, Jason?
I think so, yep.
Okay. Were there any other objections to this paragraph?
No, I mean, I think the rest is Jamie just sort of softening the language of the survey. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, again, let's point David to this, and he can object if he wants to.
Yeah. We'll do. On the next paragraph, so at the end of this section, those are two text edits from Lorraine. So just removing those few words and its minorities to the text. Unless there are any objections, I'll move on. Okay, and there, maybe Jamie, you want to jump in about the footnote that you have had it.
You need to go up a little bit.
Sorry?
The statement is out of the view. Right.
Jamie, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, sorry, I was disconnected. Did I miss something?
Yes, I was asking whether you could, jump in and...
Who's taking it out of the view so often?
So, Jamie, it was just about this footnote that you added. Sorry.
Oh. Yes. Go ahead.
Did you want to say anything about it? Yeah. Go ahead.
So this footnote and then updates in the section on recommendations regarding compliance reporting. I guess I want to start with a couple things. Number one, when the recommendations were first drafted, it was very early on, I believe, in the life of the CCTRT. And since then, compliance has enhanced our reporting. I did not want to change any of the recommendations. I did not want to suggest whether or not what compliance has done has met the recommendations. I mean, I've gotten objective place to do that, but I did thought it would be relevant to include acknowledgement that a lot of changes have been made since these recommendations were done, and that there is reporting of data that was not there before the CCTRT came into existence. And it was implemented after these recommendations released in draft form.
So thanks, Jamie. And I think it's definitely relevant. And I guess the question I have is twofold. One is we've been looking at some of the recommendations that are directed at the subsequent procedures working group and decided to leave them
right.
in and say that they've already begun this work,
okay.
Right? I guess we consider a good sign that we've been getting these recommendations out there and they're following them in a sense, right? And so then the question, I guess, is the, do you have a sense of whether there's any mapping between these enhancements and the early recommendations of the CCTRT. In other words, is it likely that dramatic progress is made toward addressing the recommendation, or was it orthogonal to the recommendation? Do you know, does that question make sense?
Yeah. There, so I think
with a little bit of work, could we in fact make a statement that was stronger? Does that make sense?
So, yeah, no, and again, I was a little trepidatious about doing that because I didn't want to appear like, because obviously I'm interested. In the later section where in the recommendations themselves, we're still in the executive summary, right?
Correct.
There, it lays out more of the changes. The blogs that it refers to has even more detail on whether on the changes that have been made. I think that to a large extent, a lot of the recommendations have been met. Again, that's not for me to say, but I think a lot of things that were asked for in the recommendations are now present in the new reporting. I don't think it's complete. There are some things like correlating GAC category one strings and PIC reporting is not done. They're done separately. There haven't been a lot of PIC disputes, so there isn't the matching there that I think is asked for in the recommendations. That's just one example, but there's a lot of stuff that is there, and so again, I wanted to call out that these changes have been made without me personally making any judgment about whether or not they meet the recommendations. But I think as you look at the substantive recommendation substantive part of the document with the recommendation, some of that is called out in more detail than just that footnote.
Thanks, Jamie. I Laureen, maybe I can direct this. Laureen, still on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't see you in the. Oh, yeah, you're up at the top because you have your hand raised. Okay, so maybe I'll call on you. But let me preface by saying that I guess I have an interest in this being a positive for the report rather than a negative. In other words, one way of representing this is that the report was overtaken by an inevitable sequence of events, and the other was that Jamie, having been intimately involved in these, reacted to these recommendations and has begun to implement them and is part of the way along in doing so or whatever, and that's a much more positive spin on the current state of affairs than, oh, by the way, this has been rendered moot. And so it's a very subtle change in language, and it may require a little bit of work to determine the degree to which the recommendations have been addressed, but I think it might be worth doing for that reason. So, Laureen, I'll pass the microphone to you.
Thanks. I mean, Jamie could speak to this more than I could, but my sense is that there was a causality between our comments and these changes, so it is a positive thing. But as Jamie says, since he doesn't want to be in the position of passing judgment about whether, you know, they fully tracked all our recommendations, my suggestion would be, and I think this may achieve both goals of making this precise and positive, is that perhaps contractual compliance has considered the review team's recommendations in implementing certain changes described in the blogs of blah, 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 blah. That way we're not making a definitive statement that they've been definitely fully implemented, but we are making a statement that contract compliance has considered these recommendations as they, made changes. Does that work for you, Jamie? Is that are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
So maybe I'll repeat that more slowly then, and I'll let others weigh in, of course.
What happened is that she called me first and said that she cannot.
No, she called me and said you are refusing to give. I don't know, you are refusing what?
I think you can hear your side conversation here. Okay. So I'm going to repeat that more slowly then. So starting in the first sentence of the footnote, Jean-Baptiste, why don't you let me know when you're ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I don't want to go too fast. Since the publication of this going to start in the middle. Since the publication of the CCRP's draft recommendations for public comment, ICANN contractual compliance has, here's the change, has considered the review team's recommendations. In implementing certain changes described in...
Sorry, you said further changes?
In implementing certain changes, not further
certain changes. Sorry. In
implementing changes, I think. Certain changes is fine. In implementing certain changes described in, and then you just delete the rest so you get to described in the blog.
Yeah. Thank you, Lorraine.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to, the review teams, and that would make it plural, recommendations. Yeah. And review, yeah, that's fine. Review team recommendations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So the last two edits that were made in the executive summary are from Jonathan, and that's in the conclusion. So now the conclusion reads, initial indications are that the new TTLD program has led to a dramatic increase in consumer choice, a modest but important increase in competition, and has had a minimal impact on consumer trust. However, there are several TLDs with a disproportionate level of technical abuse, and the review team recommends enhancements to various enforcement mechanisms prior to any further additions to the DNS. The review team believes that there is substantial need for more and better data on both competition and pricing, and on the impact of safeguards on consumer protection. And I don't know if you wish to add something to that, Jonathan.
I think I said what I meant to. Jamie asked a question about, I guess I feel like we keep getting pushback on NCUC to make sure that we're talking about technical abuse. And
yes.
Not other, they're worried that it's content regulation. And so that's why I use that term. It's been become a term of an art in the discussion surrounding this issue.
But Jamie is right about this term, DNS security abuse, which was a new term when I read the edits to the report. Let me ask this, what's the difference between technical abuse and DNS security abuse? Because we are using the latter term in most of the report.
Then let's switch. I mean, you've been in them, right? I mean, I don't know where term technical abuse came from. And so I was just using a term that had come up in face-to-faces quite a bit, but...
Right.
I mean, maybe there's a specificity to DNS security abuse that encapsulates the notion of technical abuse. So let's go ahead and change it to that then. I'm kind of operating on the assumption that most people are only going to read this executive summary, and so I wanted to make sure and get some of these points out, including the sort of prerequisite nature of this particular issue, into the executive summary. So that was my intention.
No, I think that's an excellent addition.
All right. So the different changes that you've raised were changed in the executive summary. We'll have David to review the previous edits that were mentioned on the on the previous section on RPMs. Are there any objections, sorry, to on this executive summary other than having David review the different edits that were made? Okay, so moving on to the next section with edits. So that's under data-driven analysis. If you are on reading your own version of the report, so that's on page 31. I'm sorry for the fast scrolling. And that's just here, so that's reflecting the discussion that you had in the past where the term frustrated was changed, and that's an edit from Jonathan to change it to hampered. And then, Lorraine, in the second paragraph, you had suggested to remove domains that are not yet in use, either because of speculation or preparation by domains that have been registered but are not yet being used. Are there any objections to these two changes?
And just for explanation, I made that consistent with how we had defined parking in other parts of the report. This was inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should just probably say being used for websites, because obviously they could be being used for email or typical parking, like, you know, index pages for ads and things like that. So maybe are not yet being used for websites, something like that.
And I think that's fine. There's a place later in the report where I think we just said that they are not being used definition, in which case I would say it would make sense to add this, this more precise language to that too. I think you probably could find that just in a word search.
Okay. Okay. Are there any objections to these two changes? Jordan is supporting what you said, Jonathan. Okay, so if no other comments, moving on to the next one, which is on page 34. And that's, again, that's the discussion on the footnote. Would you like me to apply the same change here on that footnote as we did in the executive summary?
Yeah, I think we should be consistent.
Yeah. Okay. In the interest of time, I'll do that. I'll just note it down. Okay, and then moving on to the competition section. So there were several edits from Jonathan. One is to replace variable by reasonable, and then to add after substitute goods are those goods, had a comma and place to varying degrees that can satisfy the same necessity, they can be used for the same end. And that's part of the text in the substitution analysis. And then, Jonathan, you moved that sentence. Basically, if the price of Coke goes up, more people will switch to Pepsi. This was in the third paragraph, but you moved it to that section. Any objections to those changes? Okay, moving on. Still in the substitution analysis, So here you have added the following text with online dot site and dot space. And then the sentence you have replaced viable by reasonable and added this sentence. For example, shop might be a substitute for online shopping websites. Photography might be an alternative for photographers. News might be an alternative for news website, etc. Do you wish to add some more clarification on these additions, Jonathan, or are there any objections to those edits?
I think they're mostly additions, right? And I was just trying to clarify because people have asked questions, and so I don't think there's anything controversial there.
Okay. Perfect. Moving on to the next one, which is on page 56. So this is part of recommendation two. Would you like to provide some input on those changes, Jonathan? In the detailed section of the recommendation two, collect wholesale pricing for legacy GTLDs.
Right, so one of the things that was on my to-do list was to go through all the recommendations and just look for overly prescriptive language in the recommendation that might tie the hands of the implementer, because that was one of the issues raised by the board comments on our initial set of recommendations. And so there's a series of things where I'm just putting a lot of language to consider, or one way to accomplish X might be, et cetera, in order to, in my mind, this was a non-concern, but I just tried to make that clear in every recommendation that I thought it was possible that it was overly prescriptive. So that's all this language is, instead of I can, should, I have, could, you know, things like that. Again, I made every attempt not to change anything about the substance of the recommendation, just create language that left room for creativity and implementation.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any objections to those updates? Okay, moving on to page 66 of that same chapter. We are now on consumer choice. And on page 66, there was a question from Brian to the review team whether you would like to cross-reference this section on previous studies to the substitution analysis in the competition section.
I'm sorry, I've missed this, so I'm trying to read what the review team might want to consider cross-referencing this section to the substitution analysis, added a cross-reference in the competition section. If Brian's on the call, what do you mean by cross-reference? Just refer out to this same study, or... What's the easy path to agreeing to your change?
Jonathan, it should be just a real easy, C section, C substitution analysis section. So that's all I was saying, nothing big. Just because it seems relevant to substitution.
So refer back to the substitution analysis from this thing on previous studies.
Exactly.
Okay.
Up to you. It's a very minor thing, so it just popped into my head when I was reviewing it. So.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just, what are they seeing it for? For further analysis or something like that?
Hold on. Let me just take a look here.
What's the actual sentence? I'm just trying to.
You know what? I think just a simple solution would be to add a footnote to the end of the paragraph, saying, you know, see substitution analysis section earlier. Something like that. Not even in the.
Okay.
Text. Yeah.
All right. You have my permission to do so.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Next one is under the safeguard section, I believe, and that's under. So that's an action item from the last plenary call. So that's just updated text that needs to be submitted by Jordan. Lorraine has provided text, so we are just it's just a reminder that we are waiting on that approved. Edit already, but we're waiting for the new text. Then next edit is on page 96 under the support section. And here, yeah, that's pending the discussions that I was mentioning at the beginning of this call on recommendation 15. On the new version of that recommendation, since there is a merge between the two recommendations, recommendation 17 has been removed from the report. And then on page 115, there is another update, and we're almost at the end of the edits that were made to the report. So here, yes, that's the update that Jamie was mentioning earlier. So just to place there that contractual compliance provided some updates and it added some links into the report. So unless there are any objections, those will be added within the report.
So do we want to make this consistent with we want to phrase this consistent with our other phrasing?
Yes, Lorraine.
Say it again. Oh, are you?
I agree.
My
yes.
Acquisition? okay. Then the other question I raise is: do we want this in the text or in a footnote?
The reason
I asked is the other one was in a footnote, and also this is now in our recommendation, the new field that we have had. So I'm not against putting it in the text. I'm just pointing out it's different than we did the other one, and whether we want to be consistent. It sounds like Jamie's fine either way, but he's typing.
Yeah, why don't we put it into a footnote?
Yeah, I'm relegating Jamie personally into a footnote. Will he fit, I wonder?
Okay, and you would place the footnote then on the recommendation 19 then, or on the recommendation section? Or at the end of this.
I'm sorry, Jennifer, please repeat the question.
Jennifer, I was just.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I would put the footnote. Can you scroll up? I would put the footnote right after the recommendation.
Okay.
Oh, not the recommendation on top. I would do recommendation 19. Yeah, right there. That way. that way people know to look at it. I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to bit about that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll move this text to another bound just in the interest of time, and I'll move it to the footnote.
And when you, but when you move it, it should have that same sort of introductory language that, you know, that ICANN compliance based on the recommendations of the team, blah, blah, blah. You just want to put it in the same way.
Yes,
you
from the previous text. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to have that causality noted because that is a positive, result.
Mm-hmm. Would you? Thank you, Lauren. Next one is on page 111, and that's a footnote that was added, and I'll update this footnote based on what was agreed earlier. Then I believe here we have another update that was added by Jamie. Would you like this one to be added to the earlier recommendation too, with the same language that you have mentioned, Lori?
Right. I think we can do this the same way as the other one.
Yeah.
As a footnote right after the recommendation, and then include that same language about the causality between our recommendations and the and the changes.
Yep, will do. Thank you. The next edit is on page 123. And that's a comment from...
I would just like to take this one moment to thank Jamie for not waiting for the publication of the final report to begin the implementation of these changes. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, here, here. Clients really has been out of the gate in being so responsive to our recommendations, and I agree that that is very commendable.
And I see that Jamie's typing. And here, so this one, it was a comment, that you expressed earlier, Jamie. Is there, a need to get back on this comment, or would you like to add a few more things on it?
Let's see, yeah, this just seemed to be editorializing, that, and maybe there was discussion about it, and I completely missed it. So for starters, compliance has two things to work with in compliance dealing with PICs. One is the contract itself, and two is the PICs adopted by the registry operator. And this seems to suggest that ICANN compliance has instead decided to or inappropriately decided to narrow its remit, and that it should, in fact, not have created a precedent of going beyond, of not going beyond the terms of the contract and the policies. And it's, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it just struck me as something I had not read before, and something that seemed to be more editorial than factual. That makes sense.
Can I suggest that you work with Drew on this, since I think you've both been working without the benefit of each other's input here. This was new language for you, and of course now Drew wasn't available for this call. So
sure.
Can I put that in?
Absolutely.
That's
yep.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll write that down to have you and Drew review that text and discuss this. Next one is on page 129. And that's a comment from you, Jamie, on the first sentence on the INT impact study. The results of the INT impact study contain important information for the community to consider regarding the impact of ICANN's new GTLD program on the cost and effort required to protect trademarks in the DNS. And your comment there says a survey with only 30 respondents doesn't really fully inform, and that's the text that you had removed and changed with information for the community to consider regarding the impact. Unless there are any objections, I'll move on to the next one. So there they are, minor edits from Jamie on several sections of the text. I give you a few seconds to review that.
I mean, this is all just qualifiers, making sure that these are based on the survey. I have no problem with these.
Perfect. So those are adopted. And here on this page, so very substantial anecdotal was removed. And so the text only reads, there is nevertheless evidence. So
we want to keep in anecdotal and maybe just also flag this for David, since he may object about whether it's fairly substantial or not. But if it's anecdotal, I think that's an important point, and then maybe David and Jamie can make sure that it's anecdotal. I'm sorry, that it's substantial. Or not.
Sorry, so you meant to keep substantial, not anecdotal.
Sorry, what I said was keep anecdotal and then maybe just flag for David this particular change, because he characterized it that way, Jamie deleted it. I just want to make sure that everyone knows, the right hand knows what the left is doing.
Yeah. We do. So next one is under the UDRP and URS sections, with one addition from Jamie. So just further clarification on the text. Unless there are no objections, I'll move on to the next one. And I believe the last one is in fact on page 150. All right. No. But in fact, that was the last one, I believe. So what we'll do is to have so the executive summary was adopted. We'll have the section reviewed by David, and all other sections. So since there were no objections, were adopted, but there are several sentences which need further discussion. So either from David or from Drew on PICS, for example. So we'll take that on, and we'll circulate an updated version to the full review team. And unless there are other questions, I'll move on to the next topic on the agenda, which is the next steps. In any case, thank you everyone for your input on the on those edits. So in terms of next steps, so I read after this call, so since all edits have been reviewed, we'll recirculate this report to the review team, so everyone will have possibility to share any final objections to the text before next Tuesday. Next Tuesday at 23:59 UTC. And then there is a call scheduled next Wednesday to reach final consensus call, and adopt the final report. So by then the recommendation 15 should have been circulated to the team, and as explained earlier at the beginning of this call, this recommendation will be reviewed via email in the interest of time, and on the next plenary call we'll end the review of the final report by confirming the implementation agent. Jonathan, is there anything you'd like to add at this stage?
It really isn't.
All right. Any other business?
Thank you.
If none, thank you all for your review today, and thank you for your time, and talk to you on the call next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.